We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4 today. We're going to look at this last verse, but just for context, let's begin reading from verse 30 through 32 of chapter 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. What a wonderful passage. The Apostle Paul is making a contrast in our spiritual life between the way we were, the way the things are natural in our life, the things that are easy in our life, because that's part of our human nature before we are born again, before we come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in contrast to that, in verse 32, that is the goal of all Christians. Even as God in Christ has done for you, Paul says. And so whenever we find a command in Scripture, that is what we want to be doing. The command as far as the evil things in our life, Paul says, put them away. We looked at the verse last Sunday in the Greek language. That means let it no longer exist in your life. Paul does not say that this never happened in your life. This is the way your life was. You did all these things. You were bitter. You were wrathful. You were angry. You spoke evil of one another. That's just the way our human nature is. And Paul does not, ignore it and act as if it never happened. In fact, he says the fact that it's happening now proves that you had it in your life. But that's not the way Christians have to live. Christians have to live a new way. Chapter 4, verse 1, it seems like a long time ago since we read that verse. But Paul says, walk with the holy calling with which you were called. Walk worthy of the walk with which God has called you. The Holy Spirit, God has invested in our life. And it grieves God. It hurts God. It hurts the heart of God. It broke the heart of God to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. It broke the heart of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for our sins. There's a certain context in which we can say that Jesus died of a broken heart. It grieved Him. He gave it all. Don't do these things. Put them away. Let them not even exist in your life, Paul says, because that is unbecoming of Christians. There's something called Christian etiquette. There's something called the godly way that God wants us to live. And this is not the way God wants us to live. And so last time we looked a little bit at some of these words. Remember, bitterness, it is an internal attitude that we have. Notice in verse 32, the things that Paul talks about being tender-hearted, being kind, loving, forgiving. These are verbs. These are actions. Notice that verse 31, it's mostly attitudes that turn into action. And it's bad actions versus good actions. It's not a case of do's and do nots or don't do's. It's a case of these things should not be. Irritation is another word for bitterness. Bitterness is have you tasted something bitter? Or had something that gives you an awful taste in your mouth. When a Christian is in a church and he has this bitter attitude in his mouth, it begins to affect other people. And Paul says, put it away. Let it not exist. It takes a conscious decision. I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to act this way. The Holy Spirit will do better in my life than that. It bursts, comes out in the open as wrath, becomes violence. The court system is full of people that have committed murder or committed violent acts against other people. When this bitterness against society or against somebody else that has something you don't have explodes in violent action. Most robberies, most murders, most evil things like rape and all sorts of horrible things that people do to each other are a result of a bitterness which is actually related to jealousy, because I don't have what you have and I want it. And that's the 10th commandment. Do not desire, do not want what your neighbor has. Be content, God says, with what I have given you. Contentment goes with godliness and is the result of that is our blessedness that Paul, that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount and also in Psalm number 1. Anger is related to this. Clamor, outbursts, loss of self-control. Paul says these things should not be, but most importantly, no evil speaking. No talking about people behind their back. No talking evil about people that are not there to defend themselves. And how often all of this ends up in being evil speaking about God. Instead of all this, Paul says, put it away. Now, if you take, and I noticed somebody put a cup of water here today, but if you take something and you empty it, you're left with emptiness. In your Christian life, you cannot just empty yourself of the things that were. It creates a vacuum. You know what a vacuum is? In scientific terms or in industry, there are vacuums that suck in, as a result of the vacuum, anything that is on the outside. It's a physical type of thing, an action that happens. Okay, every time you take a breath, Brother George is breathing deep. And when you exhale, you cannot leave your lungs empty. You have to inhale again. You've got to fill your lungs with some fresh air. In your spiritual life, you cannot just empty the things, or God cannot just get rid of the things that are in there already. You've got to fill it up with something else. The vacuum will refill itself. And if you don't fill it with the things of God, the things from the Word of God, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, etc., that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 and Galatians chapter 5. If you don't fill the things of God in your heart, who's going to fill the vacuum? Satan will come right back and fill it right up again with the same stuff that just got rid of. So Paul says, instead of these things, instead of that, be kind to one another. What does kindness mean? Again, kindness is an action. It's not, you can't just think about being kind. You have to be kind to people. You know, you can think bad things about people. You can think evil. You can be angry at people. It can eventually explode in an action against somebody. But kindness, that's a supernatural, that is a spiritual quality that we, before we come to Jesus Christ, do not have. It's just not part of human nature to be kind. You go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sin, and their very children. One brother kills another. Is that kindness? Is that tender kindness? Is that forgiveness? Absolutely not. That is the worst human behavior that can exist. And it's what was wrapped up in verse 31 that describes Cain when he killed his brother. Instead, be kind to one another. What is kindness? Scripture talks about kindness as an attitude, as an action that we can wear, similar like clothing. You put it on. You put it on in the morning and you wear it all day. Kindness is an attitude. Kindness is an action that God wants you to have all day. Kindness is the opposite of selfishness. What is selfish? Selfish is thinking about yourself. When you want to steal, when you want to murder, when you want to do something, when you want to take what does not belong to you, that is selfishness. That is thinking about yourself. Paul says, don't think about yourself. Think about your brother and your sister that's sitting next to you in the pew. The child of God that God died for, that God sent Jesus Christ. It's not only selfish. It's not only the opposite of selfishness, but kindness is the opposite of selflessness. Selfless means not to think about yourself. Selfless means to think about the welfare about other people. When we say the word welfare, we usually think of the check you get from Uncle Sam in the government, right? You think about your monthly check. That's not what welfare or other people's welfare is about. Welfare is the well-being of the spiritual person next to you. Paul's talking about spiritual qualities here. Paul's talking about building each other up. Remember earlier we were talking about the spiritual gifts that God has given to the church. To use them. To minister to each other. Remember verse 11. He says God has given gifts. God given the church pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints. In other words, to teach you. To do what? To do the work of the ministry for the edification of the body of Christ. Build each other up. This is one of the ways you do that. You're concerned about the welfare, about the person sitting next to you, and also about the church as a whole. This attitude, this action that you do to somebody else, you know what? It requires a sacrifice. Stop and think about that. There's a song, actually, that says, love, the love of God, required a sacrifice. Okay, of course, God made his sacrifice. He gave his son. Jesus made the sacrifice. He gave himself. The Holy Spirit does the sacrifice. He invests in our life. And he wants a result. He wants a harvest. He wants some fruit. Be kind, Paul says. Okay, being kind to somebody involves some self-sacrifice, a removal of selfishness. It requires selflessness, less of yourself, more of your neighbor. Of course, the bottom line is when we are kind, we are like Jesus Christ. We are like God. We are imitators. You know, we cannot be Jesus Christ. We cannot be God the Father. We cannot be the total that God is because we're humans. So Paul says, be imitators. And that's what chapter 5 begins. Be imitators of God as children. We'll get into that next time. But an imitation, the bottom line, sometimes it means a fake. In this case, it's a good fake. In this case, it's follow the good example that God has given you in being kind. God is kind. Where and what does the kindness of God do in our life? Those of you that come to Bible Hour in Romans chapter 2, we read the goodness or the kindness of God leads you to repentance. You see, being kind, imitating God's kindness, the kindness and the mercy of Jesus Christ, is a godly quality. It's part of the character of God. And Paul says that that is something we're supposed to have. Now, by ourselves, we don't have that. But when the Holy Spirit lives in our life, he produces it in our life. But you know, kindness is one thing, but Paul goes on and he uses another word here, a compound word. The second word he uses in this verse is tender-hearted. It means to be kind, but have your heart attached to it. Okay? Have this soft emotion that a mother has to her baby. Tender kindness is a more deeper version of kindness, but it's a total hard attitude that you have towards somebody. It's like if you haven't seen an old dear friend for a long time and when you first see him, what's the first expression that you have? You give each other a big hug, right? You express a physical tenderness towards each other. It's a deep friendship. You see, tender-heartedness, it means that you are involved in the life of somebody else. Jesus said to invest your resources spiritually in heaven. The thieves can't steal. The rust won't bother it or destroy it. Why? Because your heart is attached to the things that you invest in. If you're kind to people, if you invest in the life of the person sitting next to you, if you're tender-hearted towards them, if you put your arms around them and desire their welfare, the best that can be for them, at an expense to yourself, at a sacrifice to yourself, then that's tender kindness. And it stems from a love. Agape love, not just phileo love, not just love for friends or husband to wife or friends, but it's a godly love. It's the love that Jesus asks Peter. He says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Be kind. Do what God has called you to do. Exercise the gift that you have. And last of all, if we're kind to the person next to us, if we're kind all the way down to the depths of our heart. You know, remember Jesus said that the mouth speaks with what's in the heart? Let bitterness and wrath and evil speaking from down inside, let it disappear. Instead, fill it up with love and kindness and tender-heartedness. And when from your heart you invest in other people, then what happens? Then there's no anger, there's no animosity, there's no enmity. Instead, there's forgiveness. What is forgiveness? We only have an example of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. As we read Isaiah 53 and the suffering of Jesus Christ for our sins, when God puts our sins upon Jesus Christ, we can only think about God forgiving us. Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Should I forgive my brother 7 times today?" Peter didn't say, "In my whole life, my brother, I had to forgive him 7 times. Peter says, "Do I have to forgive him today 7 times? I don't know what happened that day, but they must have been arguing a lot. So Peter probably had already forgiven his brother 6 times. We don't know, but we'll take some guess. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, well, he says, "How about 70 times 7? Do the math, take 24 hours times 60 minutes, divide it all out. That's once every 3 minutes. Can you get mad at somebody emotionally? Verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and then forgive them in a 3-minute space? No, it's impossible. But what Jesus is saying is this is the attitude, this is the standard that Christians should have. Do you see the difference between the things that please God and grieve the heart of God? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. See the Spirit of God in this verse? And do you see verse 32, God in Christ? We've got the Trinity here. We've got God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all involved in our life. And when they're involved in our life, the result is verse 32. When we grieve God, the result is verse 31. And so you decide what kind of life you're going to live. God calls you to live, verse 32. May God bless His word. Amen.